Welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the DWZ. That's right, the Dynasty Warzone's very own Rookie Rundown. As always, I am your host, Dallas. You can find me on all the socials at Salad Galore. That is Dallas spelled backwards with the double L galore. It is great to be here talking to you all again as we are creeping ever so closely into the month of April and closer to the NFL draft here in 2024. So, as I've talked about the last couple of weeks, we have been focusing more so on free agency fits, needs following free agency, that type of thing. Now I'm going to be leaning into more about some of the prospects, trying to give you guys as much of a head start as possible when it comes to these prospects that aren't the big name guys, as always here on the Rookie Rundown. That's kind of my focus. So today's episode is aptly going to be titled something like the mid-round forgotten names. There's always the hype train that you get for certain players. Basically, as soon as you hit the combine, the all-star bowls with the senior bowl, the East-West Shrine Bowl, that type of thing, certain names start vaulting up because they are in the forefront of our vision, in the forefront of the media hype train's vision is what I would say. And so there are a lot of talented players that inevitably get drafted in the middle rounds that usurp these names that are being talked about constantly, repeatedly, over and over and over by the media stream as they're trying to hype them up, as they're for some reason trying to force feed those names into our heads, even though 80% of the time in the middle rounds, those guys end up falling. Those guys end up not getting taken over, and you end up being surprised by these names that come out of the woodworks, come out of nowhere, and are taken by your favorite teams ahead of the likes of what the media has really been pumping into your vision and audio intake. So today's episode, I'm going to be covering 16 prospects at the wide receiver and 16 total. I'm not doing 32. That'd be crazy. But 16 total prospects for the middle round wide receivers and running backs combined that I want to just kind of bring back into your vision, bring back into, and if it's the first time that you're hearing about them, introduce you to them, give you their pros, their cons of their games, the type of style that they play. I'm going to give you my current player comps for these middle round guys and my prediction of the overall round of what to expect them to go to. I won't be doing team fits specifically as I've already done that, but over the next 2 weeks, I'll be doing basically my final analysis of my players, my final basically pre-draft ranks of my individual players as I have officially finished tape as of this week. And I have my ranks pretty solidified at this point, as well as a kind of like a final mock landing spot and final draft prediction episode right before the NFL draft, because we're 3 weeks out at the time of recording on this one. So without further ado, I'll just start jumping in on these prospects. They are in no particular order. There are a large number of prospects at the wide receiver position, I found out, that have the first name starting with J. So it may sound crazy and it may be a little jumbled up, but a lot of these guys have J names. I'll start with one of Jesse and mine's favorite wide receivers so far in the draft process. And for good note, his name is Mr. Jermaine Burton from the University of Alabama. He is coming in and measured at the combine at 6 foot flat, 194 pounds. And at the time of the NFL draft, he will be 22.7 years old, 23, a little bit after the start of the regular season. And ultimately, he is a player that doesn't have a lot of flaws in his game. He can do pretty much everything and pretty much everything well. He tested very well at the combine and is still kind of going under the radar for some reason in this wide receiver class. His pros production, he was a steady producer on Alabama, which hasn't been known for their passing since Mac Jones left. He has been basically the lead receiver on that team, even with moderately pedestrian numbers in the 700 to 800 yard range every season over the last couple years. But production has been there consistently steady. I've seen him do what he does. Another pro of him, his physicality. He is very fast. He is very quick and agile, and he is going to bully ball people on the outside and underneath if he's put in the slot. He is constantly dealing with press due to his speed, and he is constantly winning against press with said speed. That coupled with what I think is his best trait and what I think are the best hands in this year's draft, that's what he has. He catches everything that's thrown to him. You can't jar him. You can't slap it out of his hands. You can't do anything like that. If you throw the ball in one-on-one coverage to Jermaine Burton, he's coming down with it. It's as simple as that. And people talk about Keon Coleman for the same thing. I think Burton does it at the same, if not better, level than what Coleman does. He just doesn't do it in a flashy capacity because oftentimes he's separating quite a bit more than what Keon Coleman is. When it comes to his cons, the thing I always have with Alabama on the con side is the competition. Say what you will about the SEC. They only play a couple of SEC teams, and the SEC as a total is not as competitive as people like to give it to them. They're the top three or four seeds, yes, but as a total conference, it's kind of a laughing stock when it comes to playing against the Georgias and the Alabamas. That's why they always have these win records of nearly perfect, pristine-looking win records going into the playoff contention. And then Jermaine Burton, as I said, he only had one year that was kind of a blip above year, above 800 yards. Other than that, like I said, he's been pretty consistent, steady Eddie in that 750 receiving yard. So he just didn't pop with any of his statistics or production over the last couple of years. So that kind of gives you just like a, why wasn't it happening? That's kind of confusing. This player for me, comp wise, of what he does well, how he does it, and the lack of flaws, I feel exactly about Jermaine Burton how I felt about Jonathan Mingo last year. It's eerily similar, and that's who the player comp I actually have for him. He's a physical specimen. He does everything well. Testing was above average. He's got the body type, the hands, the physicality, the steady Eddie production basically over the last couple of years to really solidify himself as at least a starter in the NFL, but you have to question why he wasn't able to capitalize on all of this solid game that he put on tape. Was it the system? Was it him as a player? Jonathan Mingo still TBD because he was in a very bad passing situation last year, but it's exactly the same for me with Jermaine Burton. So that's why I have him kind of in the same range that I had Jonathan Mingo. There's some question marks that I have because, as you all know, production is a big part of my analysis, but what's a bigger part is the tape, and I like the tape a lot for Jermaine Burton. My prediction for a round for a guy like Jermaine Burton is actually in the third. I think he goes a little bit later because people may be a little bit scared off of what Jonathan Mingo was last year, but I think there's no reason why he can't be a steady contributor at the next level. Moving on to another J name, Mr. Javon Baker. This one is getting a little bit more steam, I would say, and it's mainly due to the Twitter hype train thus far. He's had a couple of highlight catches, both at his pro day, both of his training sessions at the Shrine Bowl. The question marks with him aren't related to size. He's 6'1", 208. He'll be 22.1 year old at the time of draft. The question I have is he's very mediocre athleticism wise, and he has very inconsistent hands. He's not going to wow you with deep speed. He separates on an average ability, but it's typically due to his route running. And then when it comes to catching, he made some highlight catches in, you know, these games that you're seeing or in these practices, the Twitter highlights that you're seeing. But when it comes to consistently catching balls where he's wide open and stuff like that, he just doesn't do it very well. His route running gives him a good amount of separation. And against zone, he's one of the better route runners, specifically his zone sitting abilities, which is something I typically pay attention to for tight ends. When you see the greats like Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, their ability to find that soft part in the zone is what allows them to consistently be target hogs. That's what Javon Baker was doing at UCF this last year. But the inconsistent hands, along with his route running, there's some questions with athleticism. His physicality is okay, but it's not amazing. He's just kind of a middle tier guy that also played against worse competition. The comp that I have for Javon Baker is actually Jalen Tolbert. I see a lot of Jalen Tolbert in him. The same kind of hype was happening with Jalen Tolbert in his draft class a couple of years ago. The same type of kind of smaller school transfer into a school that could give him a little bit more pop in UCF. Inconsistent hands, average athleticism, but had the route running chops and the nuance to play the game that a lot of people like. Question marks about a lot of things. Production was pretty solid for him this last year. Before that, it was a little inconsistent. But for me, my prediction, I don't think he's going as high as people think he is. I think he's more of a fifth round pick for me. It's just, this is the type of guy that feels like, this isn't the comp for him, but feels like the Sky Moore, where people are just kind of latching on to him because he's in our vision right now with some of these highlights. When in all reality, I don't think he's a complete receiver yet. And him being limited athlete and having inconsistent hands is always a combo that's going to be a little bit scary to me. Because if you're not catching the ball, one, your target's going down as well. But if you're not separating due to your athleticism, which gets even harder to do at the next level in the NFL, that's even less targets that'll be going your way. He's a developmental guy. I like him overall because, again, this wide receiver class is fun, but I'm not in love with him on the same threshold that a lot of people are. Moving on to the third wide receiver, we are talking about Mr. Jamari Thrash. This is a guy that has been really forgotten about. At the time of recording, I believe Steve Smith just dropped an episode on him today, if I'm not mistaken. I think I saw that on my YouTube talking about him. But it's a guy I like. He's very versatile, and he comes in at 6'1", 185 pounds. He's a little bit of a thinner frame. I think he measured in at 6'1". He doesn't look 6'1", but he is on the taller side, skinnier frame. He'll be 23.2 years old. He was a transfer from Georgia Tech to Louisville. He actually got worse when he went to Louisville when it comes to like the quarterbacks that he was playing with, the system, how he was used, that type of thing. But his run after catchability is the most insane thing about his game. He is so good with the ball in his hands. He has deep gash you speed and deep pull away speed, very easy, but he's versatile where he can be used all over the field, the backfield, swings, outs, slants, deep crossers. He can do pretty much anything, and he was asked to do a lot of things at Georgia Tech, which is funny because they're not known for the passing game, but he was used as a weapon basically there. It's kind of what I see for him. Biggest con is going to be his frame for me. He doesn't have a ton of physicality when it comes to getting off of true presses on bigger corners, which is going to be a concern. But if he adds a little bit of weight, that elite speed can still be very good speed. He can still be versatile and he'll still have that run after catch ability, which I think would be really good. He's going under the radar more than what my comp is for him or was for him at that same time, but I project them to be very similar players in how they're used at the next level. I comp Jamari Thrash right now to Wandell Robinson. Very similar games, very similar ceilings. The floor on Thrash is a little bit more of a question mark when it comes from a production standpoint, but I see them very similarly. I don't have him ranked as high as I had Wandell in my rankings of that year, because I'm predicting him to go in the fourth as opposed to the late second like Wandell did. But I think people are realizing Wandell might have been a reach because the undersized gadget type of player typically shouldn't be that high. I think we're away from the taking of Wandell Robinsons, Rondell Moores, that type of player in the second round. So day three feels right for a guy like Jamari Thrash, and he will be a day one starter because I think he can play outside at the X. He's very good in all capabilities, and he can be used at all three positions. I actually like putting the leaner guys on the outside because if you're going against a press corner that's trying to out-physical you, it's much easier to get a call due to holding or pass interference on the outside when you're in one-on-one coverage right in front of the ref than when you're in the toss up of the mix underneath. So I like the bigger guys inside. The big slot is my personal preference, but that's just me. I think he could be very good at the next level. And I think a fourth round, day three pick coming in as a true wide receiver two potentially for a team is very much in the cards for a guy like Jamari Thrash. On the other side of the coin from a guy that if you looked at their tape, they would seem pretty similar as to what they do is Jacob Cowing out of Arizona. 5'11", only 175 pounds, and he'll be the exact same age as Jamari Thrash at the time of the draft, 23.2 years old. Biggest pro for him, deep speed is electric. He's got it for days, very nice. And his route running is actually surprisingly good for a guy that's not, I would say, shouldn't have been asked to do as much routing as he did. Arizona's system was super weird last year, and we finally got to see him on display. But his route running is good. He's a technical route runner. He just doesn't have the extreme burst underneath, is what I would say. He is, for lack of better phrasing, the con that I have for him, he's not a versatile player
as much as Jamari is. They can be used in similar ways, but on a lot of the underneath stuff, Jacob looks a lot worse. He is more of a linear guy. You put him on the outside, ask him to do kind of what Christian Kirk does, and I think you'll have success with Jacob Cowing. If you ask him to switch it up and be more of like the Calvin Ridley, which is what I would think like Jamari Thrash's type of role would be, I think you have a little bit more of a hiccup in that step. The biggest concern is, like I said, that versatility, how they're used, the underneath burst is where I have question marks with Jacob Cowing, but I do like his game. He's fun, and you can't deny the production last year at Arizona. It was just a little bit too good to pass up. The comp I have for him is Calvin Austin from the Steelers, same kind of gadgety player, deep speed guy. And I see him going in around the same range as a guy like Calvin Austin. I predict him as a sixth round wide receiver. Later end, he's going to be one of those deep speed type of demons, the smaller undersized guys. Think of the range that you typically see like the like Jaden Reed is a little bit higher than what you would expect, but like the Trey Tuckers last year, before that, you could look at Bo Melton. Like that's the type of mold that I think Jacob Cowing gets drafted as a speed element for a team to be that deep burst guy. Moving on to a bigger wide receiver and one of my favorites out of this pool, guy that still isn't getting talked about enough. People just don't know what to do with him, and I don't know why. Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. The dude's a monster, 6'6". 237 pounds. He'll be 23 years old exactly at the time of the draft. He is a late April birthday. pros, he's massive. You build him in a lab. There's not that many humans that are this type of size. He's more built like a power forward in the NBA than he is an actual wide receiver. But in that same vein, his athleticism is top tier. He was a 99th percent athlete with his combine testing, and his hands are like glue. If you throw him the ball, he catches it. The biggest con everyone's going to have is, I don't know how to use Johnny Wilson. That's going to be the statement. Where do you use him? He should transfer to tight end. He's athletic. He's a monster. He's a matchup nightmare. That's why it's an easy comp for me. He's a Chase Claypool. He's the Chase Claypool of this draft. That's my comp for him. And it makes a lot of sense. He can be a true number two possession chain mover, wide receiver, bigger end. He could be a Mike Evans if you tried to use him like that. Again, I'm not calling him Mike Evans. That's why I went Chase Claypool a little bit under, but it's the same type of vein. It is a one-on-one coverage. If you want to not double me and it's third down, I'm going to throw it to me every time. And as long as it's away from my frame and away from the DB, I'm going to come down with it. That's what Chase Claypool is. And that's what Johnny Wilson honestly is. My prediction for him, I think he's the one that's going to shock the most people. And it's because of his size and how people will want to use him. I think he goes late second, early third. I have him as a second round grade for myself. He's inside my top 10 for wide receivers. Didn't think it was going to be like that going into this draft period when everything was all said and done, but I just really like his tape. He does a lot of things well, and compared to his teammate Keon Coleman, he separates on the same capacity as Keon Coleman, but he's much bigger, would be my statement. And so I'll go with the bigger athletic freak that can do basically the same thing that Keon Coleman can, as opposed to the underwhelming athlete that Keon Coleman is. Because again, Johnny Wilson at 4 inches taller and 20 pounds heavier than Keon Coleman ran faster than Keon Coleman did. I'll just state that. So something to consider for sure when you're taking note of these Florida State wide receivers. Now, moving on to a smaller school guy. This is a man out of UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, Josh Cephas. One of the weirdest builds, I would say, in the class. He's 6'3.5", 187 pounds, so very lanky. He's going to be almost 24 at the time of the NFL draft later this month, but he is a very fun watch and a very good watch. He's a guy that I haven't heard pretty much anyone talk about, but I think is going to be drafted in the same range as a lot of different players that everyone has much higher on their draft boards. Pro for him, production. He's been a consistent increaser in his production each of the year, specifically with the last year in 2023 being very, very dominant for UTSA. Physicality in his hands. He's very much a my ball guy. He's a good separator, but if he's in a contested catch situation, his highlight reel with some of his crazy extensions and body control specifically is where you really get into trouble if you're trying to one-on-one Josh Cephas.
biggest con for him is, again, that 1 year of dominance. It was a steady increase, which is what you want to see, but only seeing 1 year of like true dominance at the lower level of UTSA as a 5 year producer there is a little bit concerning. Again, we're getting out of the COVID baby, so I get it, but at the same time, a little bit weird. And then the competition, you're playing at UTSA, not the greatest competition, but he has all the traits and he's got a lot of good tape. If you go back and look over the last 2 years, very, very competitive, very, very good, and very, very solid hands. I just like wide receivers that can catch the ball. I've seen Kadarius Toney up close here in Kansas City way too many times to be like, yeah, I can get over people with bad hands. And so my comp for him and the guy that I see a lot of, they played basically the exact same way. He was used the same way in Detroit as Josh Cephas was. Josh Reynolds, big, lanky builds, deep speed, very, very solid in one-on-one one-on-one competitive situations, almost usually gets separation almost every single rep against someone. It's just whether or not you're going to double him. He's going to be a space eater and a big chunk player at the next level, but he is going to be a true X. You can line him up by himself on an island on the outside, tell him to go one-on-one versus a corner, and a lot of times he's going to win. I think he's going to go in the fifth. Again, I think it's the competition type of aspect, but when you're comparing him to some of these bigger names like Jacob Cowing, like who I just talked about, Javon Baker earlier, it's the same type of range. Wouldn't be surprised if he went undrafted free agency because, again, he's UTSA, but also wouldn't be surprised if he went ahead of guys in the late fourth. He's just got a very nice build, very solid hands, and is a good producer for UTSA. He's a fun watch. And again, if you haven't heard of him or haven't looked into his tape at all, I recommend going and taking a look because it will surprise you what he's able to do with that type of offense around him. Going on to two more Power Five guys to round out the wide receivers. The first one is Anais Smith, Texas A&M University, 5'10", 201 pounds. He'll be 22.8 years old at the time of the NFL draft. Biggest pro for Anais, it was surprising he didn't come in heavier than 201 pounds, but he looks like he is very rocked up. It looks like it's all muscle. His physicality is there, and he uses it for his short area burst. He's got solid hands, and he was definitely a possession receiver for Texas A&M, but you always find yourself when you're watching this tape, at least me personally, is I found myself wanting more from him. His deep speed and his separation speed is not great. He's one of the players very similar, very, very, very similar with how he separates to Keon Coleman, where his initial burst off the line is good. He'll get the separation, but if he's not immediately the first read in the offense, typically by the time that the quarterback comes back to Anais Smith, the DB has had time to recover and he is now covered. So he has a lot of contested catch type of situations, not due to his lack of ability to burst off the line of scrimmage and get early separation, but the lack of his speed and long speed to continue that separation. That is something I probably haven't done the best job of describing when I'm talking about Keon Coleman, but I see the same thing with Anais Smith that creates the issues when it comes to underneath routes or second reads in an offense, which you have to be basically schemed up or the best tried and true wide receiver on your team to be the first read every time. And so when it comes to these type of players, it's a little bit concerning. And then his route running isn't super crisp. He uses that physicality and that quick twitch underneath to get his separation, but he's a little bit lazy on his routes. He has solid hands when it throws to him, but it's just not refined. My comp for Anais is Laviska Shenault on this one. It's the same type of kind of bully ball physicality, underwhelming speed, doesn't separate extremely well, and has solid hands, but has to be fed the targets. It's the same type of feel, except he's not, I don't think, well, I know he's not as big as Laviska Shenault was, and he's not as fast as Laviska Shenault was. So for me, unfortunately, Anais is the first guy I have as a UDFA. He's going to be a priority UDFA, but this kind of happens to one or two of the Power Five wide receivers that were the true targets on their teams where they start to fall. It's typically the guys that aren't the best athletes and have kind of underwhelming ceilings. That's the definition of what Anais Smith is to me. I think he could be a role player or more of a gadget guy underneath in some weird screen type packages, but ultimately I'm not in love with this game and I don't really think he'll be a difference maker at the next level. The last wide receiver is a guy that I think is underrated when it comes to what his tape is, but I can understand why no one's really talking about him. It's Isaiah Williams out of Illinois, 5'10", 180 pounds. He'll be 23 exactly years old at the time of draft. For me, Isaiah Williams, his run after the catchability is special. He's very, very good with the ball in his hands. He makes people slip and miss pass on tackles constantly. And his underneath burst in order to separate in zone is very, very good. He doesn't have insane long speed, but he's got average athleticism based off of the combine to keep up with the deep routes. And so overall, he's a really solid prospect when it comes to getting him the ball in the hand. But biggest con, when the ball's in his hand, he's not winning with physicality. If you put hands on him, he goes down almost immediately. So he's got to use that burst to truly juke people and get out of their way if he's going to actually break away and get those bigger chunk plays. And then his hands are very inconsistent underneath. If he's in traffic, doesn't bring it in very well. One-on-one, he can be pressed on the outside. If it's a close proximity to the DB on a deep throw, a lot of times he's dropping those. My comp for him, I felt the same way when I was looking at him coming out, Kadarius Toney. A slightly better athlete than Isaiah Williams was, Kadarius is, but that run after catch ability, the alluring type of things with that, very similar, but I have the same concerns. Physicality with Kadarius Toney, you put hands on him, he went down at Florida, his hands extremely inconsistent. It's the same type of player, so I'm not going to say he's going to be as bad as Toney is at catching the ball. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Toney. I'm just saying that's the type of player, realistically, how he will be used and what I feel is the best comp for the type of game that he plays. My prediction for him, a sixth round selection. I think that juke box type of nature that he has underneath is going to be pretty alluring to a lot of people. So I wouldn't be shocked if he is drafted, but also wouldn't be shocked if he fell off, kind of like Anaya Smith, for being a little bit underwhelming with his flaws. I do just really like that run after catch ability though with Isaiah Williams. So that will wrap up the wide receivers from this week's episode. Now we will dive into the running backs for this week's episode. Running back number one, this is a guy that I can't quite put my finger on why people have as high as they have him in their ranks. And this is 100% due to production metrics and overall usage and just, yeah, that's where we're at with this one. It's a true projection for Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue. And it feels very reminiscent of a player I'll get to here in a little bit. So again, Tyrone Tracy, running back out of Purdue, 6'1", 210 pounds. He'll be 24.6 years old. So over 24 and a half years old at the time of the NFL draft. It's because he played 4 years at Iowa as a wide receiver, transferred to Purdue. Played 1 year as a running back. He has more career targets than he does career carries. He only saw 106 last year for Purdue. Very average, 4.5 yards per carry. Just as a running back, which is what he's being drafted as, I have not seen it, is my biggest issue. No experience, projection. There's people that have Tyrone Tracy as like their fourth and fifth running back in this year's draft. And a lot of it has to do with who they see in him. Biggest pros for him, his hands, natural hands, being a wide receiver convert over the last couple of years. His speed is above average. He's very solid at 6'1", 210, having his speed metrics. It's very nice. And with the ball in his hands, he's extremely physical. He was basically, this is a good time to talk about it. When it comes to like physicality and stuff like that, when he's running the ball, it's a similar capacity of what Jamari Thrash likes to do. He'll take you on. He'll come at you and that stuff like that. It's just that Tyrone Tracy has about 20 pounds on a guy like Jamari Thrash. So it's a little bit different. He is a true wide receiver playing running back is what we are dealing with. And I think the reason why people have him so high is because they're still chasing that Antonio Gibson-esque hype. And that's my comp for him. He reminds me of Antonio Gibson. Not a lot of actual tape to show that he can be a good running back. I'm not confident in his ability to actually see the field as a running back. When it comes to his actual pass catching capabilities at Iowa, very mediocre as a wide receiver. And even now doesn't run the best routes. They're not crisp. He uses more of his physicality to get out. And so that's just any running back can do that would be my statement. So he's not an elite route runner. He just has solid hands to where if you're throwing the ball, he'll catch it would be my thing. So my comp's Antonio Gibson. I don't think he goes anywhere near where Gibson went. I have him as a sixth round projection. People that have him in the fourth and fifth running back slots in their ranks are crazy to me personally. But
That's the type of player that Tyrone Tracy is, a name to watch. If he goes to a team that needs a pass catcher or a versatile weapon coming out of the backfield, he's definitely going to be one of those late round guys in the third, late third, early fourth that you'll be paying attention to for your dynasty teams. So just get that name on your board now if you don't already have him. In the same vein of a guy like Tyrone Tracy that I like a lot more because I have seen him do it repeatedly. I'll actually do a twofer on this one just because I forgot to add this guy to the list. I'm realizing that now, but he has a very similar play style to Dylan Laube, New Hampshire, 5'10", 210 pounds. He'll be 24 and a half again, exact same age as Tyrone Tracy. Another transfer Dylan Laube was as a running back out of New Hampshire. His hands, great. His vision, great. He has all the experience that a guy like Tyrone Tracy is missing, and his route running is very crisp. He's probably the best route running running back in this year's draft class. Biggest concerns you have with a guy like Dylan Laube, not the best athlete, and his yards after contact aren't great. He's not as physical of a back as you would want for a guy that's 5'10", 210, rocked up and built like he is. Going to be 25, older, should have a more mature physical standpoint. Question marks at that. But when it comes to his versatility and his ability to be used in the pass game, as well as his vision, which is very, very, very good, I like him a lot to a guy like Zach Moss. Felt the same type of way. I think that late three, early four range for a guy like Zach Moss is what you'll expect from Dylan Laube, because I think he will be a true weapon in the pass game at the next level. The same vein as him and a guy that I comp a lot to him is Carson Steele as well. Zach Moss was also my comp for him when I was looking at his tape. He's coming out of UCLA. He's the same mold, 5'9 and a half, 220 pounds though, a little bit bigger, beefier. He'll be 23 at the time of draft. No, sorry, 22.2 at the time of the NFL draft later this month. The thing with him is he has the physicality. He's very good. He gets the yards after contact and his hands are good. He's just a slightly sub route running efficiency type of guy compared to Dylan Laube, but they have the same type of vision, same type of pros, same overall cons. Not the most athletic guys, but I do like the size a little bit more for Carson Steele. I was kind of surprised he didn't go back this last year because he could have had the lion's share, but I kind of feel very similar to like a Zach Charbonnet when I'm looking at a guy like Carson Steele. They run very similarly. They were used in the same vein at UCLA. So that's what I see with Dylan Laube and with Carson Steele. They're fun names to watch. Fourth, fifth round production, wouldn't be surprised because it's very seldom you get backs that are as big as both of these guys that are as good of a pass catcher as these guys. Quick drink break. One sec. My allergy has been wrecking my throat, guys. All right. Moving on to a road grader of a running back. Dylan Johnson out of the University of Washington. Forgotten name, was getting hyped up a lot at the playoff, NCAA college playoff time last year due to his running style. Unfortunately, he got hurt. That is one of the bigger things with Dylan Johnson is the injuries when it comes to cons. But if you like backs that are 6 foot, 218 pounds, 22 years old at the time of the NFL draft, physical, smash mouth football, run it down your face, with good vision to actually make that contact matter against smaller DBs, Dylan Johnson is your guy. Biggest concerns I have for him are long speed. He gets caught behind way too much on those long runs on the outside where he gets caught for a 25-yard gain as opposed to breaking it to the house when there's just a DB. A lot of times you'll see him gear down, prep for contact, and just slam into the DB. It helps later on in games, helps him get kind of those 10 to 15 yard runs consistently because people try to tackle him more efficiently as opposed to just standing in front of him. But the injuries, the lack of speed kind of limits what you can expect from a guy like Dylan Johnson. Reminds me a ton of Thomas Rawls with Seattle. That same type of physical, grind it out, throw my body into it, move the pile, but also have enough burst and vision to be a very successful running back in the right scheme. That's what I see with Dylan Johnson. Unfortunately, I think the running back class in general kind of pushes this type of runner towards the back. There's enough of the big bruising running backs that are earlier in this draft that have more of a versatility to their game in the pass game, as well as do not have as extensive of an injury list as Dylan Johnson did at Washington, to where I think he gets pushed down to seventh. Would I be surprised if he went a little bit higher? No, because running backs are very volatile, like I've mentioned, but seventh is kind of my cap. I expect him to either be seventh or UDFA priority for a team who wants to lean into that upside.
going to a smaller back, much more compact, but with the same amount of pop, Kimani Vidal out of Troy. 5'8", 218 pounds, the same weight as Dylan Johnson, the bruiser, who is 4 inches taller than him. And he will be also 23 years old at the time of draft, 22.9. Pro, extremely versatile. You can use him all over the field. His vision is great and his hands are great on the outside. He's one of the best at basically finding a skinny hole to slide through and getting 8 to 10 yards in this class. He's very, very good at it, specifically underneath. And his hands are very good on the outside. Biggest concern is the overall size, the height. I like how compact he is, but people don't like those 5'8 running backs. He's in the same type of mold as really the same pros and cons of a guy like Blake Corum. He's not as bursty underneath is what I would say. So that's why I have him significantly lower on my ranks than a guy like Blake Corum. But if you're looking for a cheaper option at running back or a guy that could succeed in the same way as Blake Corum behind a good offensive line, that's just a good running back, this is the type of player you'd want. I comp him to Michael Carter. I feel the same type of way. His pass protection is also very, very good, which is another pro of Michael Carter. I just think that the athleticism is going to limit him quite a bit. He doesn't have nearly as much production long-term as a guy like Blake Corum did. And so I have him as a UDFA, potentially a seventh rounder, but that's kind of where I have a guy like Kimani Vidal out of Troy. Fun prospect, good watch, but I'm underwhelmed. I just wanted to bring him up in case he slips into people's ranks. Moving on, this is kind of the unsung hero of the class, and this kind of happens every year, and they always end up latching on, getting some carries, but there's an Alabama running back in this year's draft class that is probably going to get drafted in the mid-rounds, and honestly, it's not going to be super shocking to me is what I would say. Jace McClellan out of Alabama is the prototypical mold for a running back. 5'10", 221 pounds, true senior, ended up with just over 900 yards rushing last year, a total of basically exactly 1,000 yards from scrimmage, ended up with 10 total touchdowns for Alabama, just was a workhorse running back for them. He ran a 4.5 flat at the combine. He'll be just under 22 years old at the start of the combine, and overall just does everything very solidly. He's just not the best athlete is really what I would say. When it comes to his overall game, he's just got long strides. He's a slow burst guy. He's got to find his gap. This is just a common theme with running backs from Alabama, but his power is there. He's a one cut back type of guy, and he has nice burst actually at the line of scrimmage. It's just getting from gear 2 to gear 3 takes him quite a bit of time. Pretty solid hands is what I would say, honestly, when you're looking at him on tape. And pretty solid size. So having that type of versatility is pretty nice, but he's definitely more of a power guy. Like I was saying, his athleticism is just kind of average. He does have a couple of injuries in his career, but I like him. I do. He just has a pretty solid run style. It's not overwhelming. It's not underwhelming. And he's a solid use back in the pass catch game. My comp for him is a guy like Carlos Hyde. I see the same type of injury concerns that I had with Carlos Hyde coming out, but the same type of running style, just really solid. He'll get you. He's really good at turning like negative runs into runs of 2, 3, 4 yards, which is nice from a running back. His leg drive's really nice. I like him. I do. I don't have him super high in my ranks, but he's a back that I'm predicting him. He's probably going to go in the 4th or 5th round in this year's draft class, and he's probably going to surprise a bunch of people because no one has him very high, but he's just a really solid all-around back. A name to watch out for. If he ends up on a team, he's probably a guy that I'll end up with a good share of, just because he's got the requisite size, the hand pass catching capability. He's got really good vision at the line of scrimmage too. I just like him. He's pretty solid. His tape, there's not a lot of flaws. Again, you can say the same thing though. Alabama going up against mediocre competition a lot of times. What are his crazy games? He had pretty pedestrian numbers against the likes of like Georgia, Texas A&M, etc. But just, you know, a solid SEC running back, 2-year starter now with not a lot of miles on his tread, you know, so just a name to watch out for.
A guy with a ton of miles on his tread, way less athleticism, but with the same injury concerns. Mayan Williams out of Ohio State. This is a guy that if him or Travion Henderson had just been able to stay healthy at Ohio State, I think people would be talking about him a lot more. He's got one of the most fascinating body types is what I would say. He's very much in the MJD type of mold. He's 5'9", 226 pounds. He's a beefy, stocky bowling ball of a back. He'll be just under 23 years old at the time of draft, 22.8. And pro his strength, leg drive, patience, vision. He runs how you're supposed to run. He always makes the right decision. He always picks the right hole. He always runs where the play is designed to if it is open, and has the ability to cut back if he needs to. It's just he is a below average athlete that can run the ball very well. There was a guy named Michael Warren coming out of Cincinnati that this guy reminds me the most of a couple of years ago, ended up being a UDFA due to the athleticism. I think that may be the case with Mayan Williams, but I think the pedigree of Ohio State and just what you've seen on tape, he's a running back I think any running back coach would love to have in the room just because he is very good at running the ball how it's supposed to be run. It's an underwhelming guy, different type of mold, but like Boston Scott always feels like the best running back. He just doesn't have the requisite athleticism. I liken Mayan Williams a lot to Jaylen Warren, actually. Under the radar, kind of a back that is a jack of all trades, very solid runner, very patient runner, but has question marks with his athleticism, same way that Jaylen Warren did. I have Mayan going in the seventh round right now is my prediction, but he's a guy that could stick on just like Jace McClellan, just because the pedigree guys, they were drafted for a reason, and it's probably because they're really good running backs at the end of the day. I could see him latching on. I liken him to Jaylen Warren, like I said, a running back that will just stick around on a roster. Whether or not he'll get the same type of workload and ilking of a guy like Jaylen Warren, that's to be discovered. But I have him in the seventh, like I said. Mayan Williams, like him, just a name to remember again, because I'm giving you names that you've probably forgotten that are in this class that will probably get drafted, like I said, above some of your favorites. And then two of the better backs left in that, again, no one's talking about. No one has, for some reason, in their top 10. But I have both of them in my top 10. Both backs that are just out of sight, out of mind, smaller school guys that, for some reason, no one's talking about. First one, Isaiah Davis, South Dakota State University. 6'1", 221. He'll be 22 years old at the time of draft. 22.1. Just his birthday was at the beginning of April. I think it was like the 4th or 5th or something like that, like a day ago. Pro, extremely strong, very, very good vision, and has good burst. These South Dakota State running backs and North Dakota State running backs for me always have a good amount of pop. They always draft pretty solid athletes that are very good at the position. It's just whether or not they're going to find a home at the next level where someone will take a jump on them. Long speed, a little bit of a question mark. Not as much of a burner as a guy like Pierre Strong was for the same team a couple of years ago. And then you always have the question concerns with Isaiah Davis. But there's not a lot of holes in his game. He can do pretty much anything that you want to. It's just he tested as kind of an average athlete. Pretty solid all-around metrics, but like nothing that pops off the field. His production's there. His tape is really, really good for me, which is another good one that I like. I think the athleticism is being overhyped in the same capacity of how it was with Tyler Algier coming out of BYU. Honestly, I like Isaiah Davis. I'm kind of surprised that more people aren't talking about Isaiah Davis, to be honest with you. Just this last year put up 1,600 rushing yards, 18 rushing touchdowns, and another 200 receiving yards. Just a very solid all-around solid all-around players, to be honest with you. So pretty fascinating, not being talked about. I liken him a lot. Like I said, Tyler Algier is the same type of feel that I have for a guy like Isaiah Davis. I have him as a predicted fourth round pick. Again, he's in my top 10. He should probably be in your top 10. Go and watch some film. You'll see that he's a pretty fun athlete and a pretty fun guy to watch. And then I would be remiss without pounding the table for my guy to round out this episode of 19 players, not 18, more than what we anticipated at the beginning of the show. Rasheen Ali out of Tulane. He is my back. He's my type of back. And we talked about him earlier on in this offseason at the beginning of the draft cycle. I told you guys early on to keep your eyes out for him in the prospect premonition type of types of episodes that I was doing.
6'1", 211 pounds. He'll be 22 years old on the dot at the time of the draft. Speed, size, burst. Does everything that you want him to do. He's a one-cut hitter. See the hole, hit the hole, and take it to the house. That's what Rasheed Ali does. Very underrated pass-catching capabilities when he's asked to do it. Has a couple of highlight reel one-handed snags over his career and over the last 2 years. Seldom could you find a back that is more productive than Rasheed Ali. He's coming off of a torn pec that he suffered at the beginning of the Senior Bowl practice week. He will be healthy by training camp. I have him as a projected third-round draft pick. I know it's high. That's where I would take him. Realistically, he's going to be a day three, early fourth-rounder probably. Comp is Pierre Strong, runs the same way, very, very fast, very, very flashy, very, very underrated in his capability. We've seen what the likes of Pierre Strong and the likes of Jerome Ford have been able to do when they've been given a sizable workload for their teams, specifically both in Cleveland now. Both look great when they get the ball. I like him a lot. He's got everything that you want at a running back position. It's just he played at Tulane, so we'll find out how much that matters. His Rose Bowl game in 2022 going into 2023 was one of the better running back games I've ever seen in college. Dude went absolutely nuclear against USC. Something to consider. That's probably the tape I recommend going and watching because he just went crazy on them last year. But had to end it with a banger here. Again, lots of names. Just run them through just so you remember to take a look if you're not familiar with the names. Jermaine Burton, wide receiver out of Alabama. Javon Baker out of UCF. Jamari Thrash out of the University of Louisville. Jacob Cowing out of the University of Arizona. Johnny Wilson, Florida State University. Josh Cephas, the big boy wide receiver out of UTSA. Anaya Smith, the compact boy out of Texas A&M. Isaiah Williams, Kadarius Toney 2.0. Tyrone Tracy, running back out of Purdue. Dylan Lauby out of New Hampshire with the bonus of Carson Steele out of UCLA. Similar route running hands catchers that are bigger boys at the running back position. Dylan Johnson, the hammer out of University of Washington. Kamani Vidal out of Troy. Jace McClellan out of Alabama, Mayan Williams out of Ohio State University, Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State University, and ending it with Rasheed Ali, my favorite running back in the class, out of Tulane University. This has been fun, guys. Hopefully, I gave you some names and gave you some comps that will kind of help you dive into these guys and have them on your radar going into the draft so you are not surprised when the draft names are these guys. This has been a fun little mid-round forgotten names episode for you. As I said at the beginning of the episode, look forward over the next couple of weeks. I will be finalizing my draft rankings for you, my draft tiers for you, breaking those down in depth, as well as giving my last round predictions, draft, mock draft, that type of thing over the last 2 weeks. If you have any questions, make sure to follow me, find me in the DMs, or find me on the Patreon group chat. And until next week, have a good time, guys. I'll talk to you then.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.